Welcome back. You're in the clubhouse coming to you live from the McAdoo Studios in Radford on Super Sports 101.7. Glad to have you along, guys. Danny Noakes, Christian Fore, and Andy Noakes with you this afternoon. Quick reminder, coming up next segment, we're talking with Virginia Tech softball coach Scott Thomas. His squad wraps up ACC play this weekend with a three-game set at home against UVA. Hokies looking for some momentum as they head towards the postseason. Coach Thomas is next. Right now, we return to the topic of Virginia Tech football, and we've got a visitor. Since we don't have a show tomorrow, Chris Coleman of Tech Sideline has volunteered to join us for a segment today right here in studio. Chris, what's going on, dude?
If today is a regular Friday, then I guess the weekend starts today, right?
Exactly.
You can count it.
So Thursday, whatever it is, all the celebration starts tonight. But we did have fun at the spring game Saturday. It was really cool. Chris and I hosted the Tech Tailgate Show together, and we had an awesome opening segment with Dwight Vick and Andre Davis. Those are two great dudes, but two very smart dudes.
Real smart guys. It's easy to see why those guys found success. Growing up as a Tech fan, you know, you remember those guys. I remember when Dwight Vick started at offensive guard for Virginia Tech. And obviously, I remember Andre Davis. He's the only guy that could catch up to Michael Vick deep ball. those guys made big impressions on me when I was a kid, and it was pretty cool being able to do a show like that with him.
It was, and I think one of the big things that I took away from it was how much they still care about the Virginia Tech football program and how important they think days like the spring game is, because they get to interact with the new guys, the current players on that roster, and you know, it's important for the current players to get to meet the older guys, the alumni.
It really is, and I think it's an interesting perspective for players, for former players, to come back for games, because when they're players, they actually don't get to experience the entire game day atmosphere. Mm-hmm. They play in the game, they run through the tunnel, they take part, you know they see the great fan support in the stadium, but you know, they don't know what it's like 7 hours before the game starts,
exactly,
when those, you know, when everybody's tailgating and things like that. But you know, once they come back for games after their players, they're able to finally take in that entire day-long experience. So I think that's something that they really enjoy.
Yeah, and Dwight mentioned that. He mentioned how much different it is just being a spectator versus being a player. You don't get to see any of that tailgating stuff. And that's where all the fun's had. And I mean, we had a great time doing the show. But on to the game itself, and there's not too much we can take away from it, I suppose, but the offense kept the play calling pretty simple, which they had to since they're still installing the offense. But all things considered, they had a pretty productive day, didn't they?
I thought so. They ran 101 plays. It was, granted, you know, it was a 48-minute scrimmage, and it was a running clock and things like that. I didn't think they started out particularly sharp, but I think they got better as the scrimmage went on. And you know, maybe the pace they were playing at wore down the defense a little bit. You know, there's a lot of players out on both sides, so neither side of the ball had particularly great depth for this game. That's why it was, you know, one of the reasons why it was offense versus defense and not split up into two different teams. But, you know, on the whole, I was pretty happy with what I saw. You can't expect sharp play when you're playing five different quarterbacks, mm-hmm, and you're missing your top two receivers, and your 1,000-yard rusher only gets three carries or whatever it was Trayvon got.
Right.
So, you know, I was pleased, though. I thought they got better as the scrimmage went along. I thought Gerard Evans was good. I was impressed with Josh Jackson. Mm-hmm. I think that guy's got a good future.
And, of course, everyone had their eyes on that quarterback battle between Motley and Evans, and I don't really think we got any closer to naming a starting quarterback, despite the fact that Gerard Evans did have a significantly better day on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's one practice within a series of 15.
That's right.
You can't really take too much away from it.
You can't take too much away from it. I think Motley was slow going through his reads on Saturday, going through his progressions. Basically, he was the same thing last year. It took him, just didn't recognize things quickly on passing plays. Now, that being said, you know, we heard he was more consistent than Evans this spring, and I think that Evans' best performances are better than Brendan Motley's best performances, but there's a consistency level that you're looking for as a coach. So, you know, that battle's going to continue. Ultimately, I do think Evans will win it. I don't think the coaching staff will want to start over again next year with a new quarterback,
right,
if they don't have to. So if this battle is even, then I think you're better served going ahead with Evans, because I think he has the higher ceiling.
And we've referenced this a couple of times in the shows we've done in the past. Coach Fuente has gone with the younger guy over the older guy in this sort of situation where he's trying to find a quarterback. But what did you think of the young receivers there? Because you mentioned Isaiah Ford, Cam Phillips were out. We did get a good look, though, at Divine Diablo, C.J. Carroll. Even Devin Wilson was in there a little bit. I think he only got one target or something like that. And then Jalen Bradshaw caught a touchdown. So what did you make of that wide receiver core?
I thought they did a nice job. C.J. Carroll did a nice job in scrimmages last year. He always has a nose for the open spot out of the slot position. And I think he can help Tech this year. I think he could have helped them out of the slot last year. The only concern there is, you know, he's 5'6", 5'7".
Right.
And, you know, Tech's quarterbacks, I wouldn't call them passing window quarterbacks. I'd call them passing area quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Like especially last year, Motley had a tendency to kind of overthrow guys. And you overthrow a 5'7 guy, you know, that ball could get tipped in the air, lead to interceptions and things like that. That's really the only thing that concerns me about C.J. Carroll. I thought Divine Diablo shows flashes. He's got to get more consistent catching the football, but I think he's definitely going to play this year. And I was happy with Jalen Bradshaw. He was a guy who didn't have much of an offer list coming out of high school, but he was a natural receiver, played for Oscar Smith. He had good film. Was banged up last year, but I thought he made a move on Saturday. I don't know what he did during the other 14 practices. I have no idea. But you know, when he beat Adonis Alexander in the air for that football, yeah, that was an impressive play because Alexander is a guy with a 41-inch vertical jump
and 6'3". I mean,
that's
he's
right.
Just generally a big defensive back. Still plenty of time between now and the start of the season. But who do you think gets that third receiver spot behind Isaiah Ford and Cam Phillips?
You know, I think it depends on how that third receiver is used. I think your best option in the slot right now is C.J. Carroll.
Yeah.
If you're looking for an outside receiver at times, then you know, probably Jalen Bradshaw or Divine Diablo, but I don't know if you can say, oh, here's your third receiver, because you know Bucky Hodges is going to be lined up on the outside quite a bit too, I think. So in that standpoint, maybe Cam Phillips is your third receiver. So it varies. I do think those three guys that we just talked about, they're going to get on the field this year a pretty good amount.
Chris Coleman of Tech Sideline is in studio with us right now. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL. We talked just briefly about Trayvon McMillan. He only got three carries or something. So I'm curious as to how that running back rotation is going to work this season. You expect him to get the majority of the carries, but we saw some Shy McKenzie. Coleman Fox had a touchdown run. And, of course, you have to factor in Sam Rogers, who's going to get some carries. So I wonder how Justin Fuente is going to rotate these three guys in.
Yeah, we don't have a clue about that at this point. I think maybe the clue is by who didn't get carries.
Right.
McLeese only got three carries, and McMillan only got three or four carries. And I've heard McLeese has had a good spring, and I think he's a really good fit for this offense. So if you're trying to figure out your depth chart behind those two guys, then that would explain why Coleman Fox and DJ Reed and Shy McKenzie got the majority of the carries. They're just trying to figure out the depth chart behind McMillan, McLeese, and even Sam Rogers, who I think you know will carry the ball quite a bit for Virginia Tech this year.
I wonder, how do you think McLeese would do in the return game? He's a quick guy, right? Do you think they opt to use him there at all?
I think they could. I think he'll be given a chance to get back there with Darion Green, probably. Mm-hmm. And I think I would like that combination. I think we're gone from the days where Virginia Tech tailbacks are going to get 25 carries in a game. I think this offense is too fast-paced for that to happen. And you know, I don't think Trayvon McMillan is built to get 25 carries in a game. When that happened last year for three games in a row, he ran out of gas and wasn't the same back over the course of the last couple of games. So I think he's better off splitting carries and getting 15 a game. I think that keeps him healthier long-term, and I think it improves his chances for an NFL career, quite frankly.
Well, let's switch it up and go to the defense now. And Tremaine Edmonds was a guy that impressed me in particular, led the Hokies in tackles unofficially, but he was around the ball all day long, made some plays in the backfield, which is exactly what Bud Foster wants from a guy he deems a playmaker and that has the ability of Xavier Adibi, is what he compared him to.
That's right. You know, and he's a bigger Xavier Adibi. I don't think Xavier Adibi ever got to 240 pounds until he was... Actually, I don't know if he ever got to 240. Mm-hmm. I think maybe he was 236 as a redshirt senior, and Tremaine Edmonds is 236 right now. And you know, at 6'5", I mean, he's just got a massive frame. I mean, he hadn't even gotten close to tapping his potential yet. You know, what he showed on Saturday is that you're not going to get to the outside on Tremaine Edmonds if you don't get a blocker on him, because that guy can run with any tailback out there. You know, and he showed that in the Independence Bowl against Tulsa also. So I think he's an excellent talent. I think he might be inconsistent early this year as a true sophomore. That would only be natural. I think he'll be a pretty good football player by the end of the year, and I think he'll have his breakout season in 2017 in his third year in the program. That's my take.
He's going to be fun to watch.
I think so, too.
He's definitely a guy that we're going to keep our eyes on. But before we go into the defensive backfield, I think it's appropriate to bring this up now, and this news didn't break until Monday. But on Saturday night, Adonis Alexander and Hoshin Gaines were charged with marijuana possession. Gaines actually also got an underage drinking charge, but both guys were suspended indefinitely by head coach Justin Fuente. Neither were booked, is what I'm hearing, and they're set to appear in court late June. Do you think we see these guys back on the field this season?
I think it's possible. It kind of depends on what the university does. I think when you're charged with possession of any kind of a controlled substance at Virginia Tech, a lot of times you end up getting suspended for a semester. The good thing is they were not caught on campus. I think if they were caught on campus, they would be done. But they were not caught on campus. I'm inclined to think that they will play football for Virginia Tech again. I don't know whether it will be this year. Their trial or whatever is on June 27th. And if Virginia Tech wanted to suspend them for a semester, you know, would the second summer session count as a semester? Because it starts on July 5th. And could Virginia Tech get their court convened between June 27th and July 5th.
Well, it counted for Ohio State last year, didn't it? Wasn't there a similar situation where they had a suspension and
I think you're right.
You know what I mean? I can't remember who it was, but I'm pretty sure they had the same situation.
It depends on the university.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to believe those guys will play for Tech again. If they play for Tech this coming season, I think they'll be suspended for the first two games. I think they would miss that Tennessee game. I don't think you send any kind of a message suspending guys for the Liberty game.
Right.
So, unfortunately, that would hurt Virginia Tech's chances of winning that game. And, you know, maybe they're not allowed to play this year. Maybe they're suspended from school this year, and that would be a university decision, not necessarily a Virginia Tech football program decision. So, I don't know how that's going to resolve itself, but I am inclined to believe at this point that they will be back at some point. I just don't know when.
Worst things have happened to people in this Virginia Tech football program. And the thing is, though, Adonis Alexander, of course, was slated to start at one of the cornerback positions. And Hoshin Gaines, that other defensive end spot opposite of Kenny Canham, they're going to need all the depth they can get there. He had two sacks on Saturday afternoon, but those are two guys that you expected to step up and make plays for your team. So I'm just curious, you know, what do they miss with them out, and how do they fill that void?
Well, Adonis Alexander was arguably the most talented player on the entire defense. His range in the secondary is excellent. He didn't have a great spring game, but, you know, I think everybody knows his talent level at this point, and he's only going to get better. And the issue in the secondary is who's going to play boundary corner now. The whole point of a boundary corner is a guy who's very good against the run and who can lock down his side of the field. And that way, Bud Foster can use a wide variety of zone coverages over the middle and on the field side. So he can flood two parts of the field with zone if he has a great boundary corner who can lock down one side of the field in man coverage. And that's how Virginia Tech was so successful defensively in the mid to late 2000s when they had guys like Jimmy Williams and Brandon Flowers playing the boundary corner spot. So who's going to play that spot? I don't think Brandon Faison, you know, he could play it in a pinch. I don't think he's suited for it with all the leg injuries that he's had. I think he's better off on the field side playing zone defense where he can use his head and keep his eyes on the quarterback. He's a really smart guy. I think he can be really good in a role like that. I think the best pure cover guys they have now are Chuck Clark and Mook Reynolds.
Yeah.
But if you move one of those guys, then, you know, who's going to play free safety? Or if it's Mook, who's going to play nickel? Mm-hmm. So it creates this whole domino effect of how are things going to shake out. I wish if Alexander was going to get himself suspended, I wish he had done it in March.
Yeah.
So Bud Foster and his new defensive back coaches could have had the spring practice to experiment at the boundary corner. So, but, you know, they might have to spend the first couple weeks of August trying out a few guys at that position. Terrell Edmonds could potentially play it, but then who would play Rover? Right. So there's a lot of questions. As far as Gaines goes, you know, he started the spring game because Mahota was hurt. I thought he played well. I think he's got a really bright future. I like the way he redirects his body and things like that, and I like his frame. So, yeah, that hurts depth. I think Trevon Hill will be fine as a backup on the right side as a redshirt freshman, but, you know, it was Fullwood ready. They seem to think he's clearly behind those other two redshirt freshmen now. And, you know, Seth Dooley, I just don't know how quick he is. I think Gaines would have been a better option there. So, It certainly harms depth, that's for sure. And especially if there's another injury, then that's going to really create some big problems. I hope those guys are back at some point. But at a bare minimum, they need to miss the first couple of games of the season because, you know, when you play college football, you know, it's not just about yourself. It's mm-hmm. about 105 other players on that team, but it's about your coaches. It's about the Hokie Club members that pay your scholarship bill. Yep. You know, it's when you do things like that, when you put yourself in a position to get caught doing things like that, it's a selfish decision. So those guys need to pay the price for it. But you know, I think they need to be back at some point too.
I think they will, and I have to commend both those guys because they did go on to mm-hmm. Twitter today and apologize. They issued apologies to friends, family, mm-hmm. the coaching staff, anyone in Hokie Nation. I thought that was a class act. That could magnify other issues on the defense, though. And the one position we haven't really talked about here yet is inside linebacker. Or the Mike spot, Andrew Matuapuaka, you know, and how is he going to look? They already need him to play better this yeah. season than he did last season, but if you're, you know, short on both the right. defensive backfield and on the defensive line, they got to step up, man. They got to make plays.
Yeah, might have to score some points this year, too.
I mean,
you know, I didn't really watch Matuapuaka during the spring game. He didn't stand out to me either positively or mm-hmm. negatively. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Right.
I mean, we'll see. I just want him to be solid. I don't want him to be a liability. If he's just not a liability, I'll consider that an improvement. But, you know, if he goes through the first few games playing like he did the last 2 years, then you got to give strong consideration to putting Carson Lydon in there because, you know, he might not be as progressed mentally as Matuapuaka is right now, but what does that matter if you can't do the job physically?
Yeah.
And I know Carson Lydon can do the job physically. He's our best option there from a physical standpoint.
He's significantly bigger
yeah.
than both Matuapuaka and Sean.
I think he runs better and changes directions better and things like that. It's just, you know, is his mind tying up his feet at this point? I think it was kind of a disservice for him not to get second team reps last year when they pulled his red shirt because, you know, having him work on scout team, that didn't do anything for his development within the Virginia Tech defense. I think he'd be further along right now and in a better position to challenge Matuapuaka if they hadn't had him on the scout team for most of last year. So it's a shame it worked out that way, but you know, we'll see. I think that position will be improved this year by default.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to sound bad, but it's probably not going to get much worse than it was last year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, the last thing here. Is there any chance Devin Wilson doesn't make the team here?
I think he'll play. I think he should play. You know, we'll see how much he likes it. He'll need to bulk up this summer.
Yeah,
some.
For sure.
I think when you're depth shy at wide receiver and you have the opportunity to get a guy who caught, what, 250, 230 passes mm-hmm. in high school or something like that. And it's a guy who's competed at high-level college sports. He hasn't played college football before, but he's a guy with 3 years of ACC basketball under his belt. He's an experienced competitor. He's not necessarily an experienced football player, but he's an experienced competitor. And I think he has pretty good leadership abilities, and I think having a guy like him around could be beneficial for some of those young receivers. So, yeah, if both sides are in favor of it, I'd like to see him on the football team this year.
He's got a big body, and he's a competitor, and like you said, he's played in the ACC before. Mm-hmm. This just doesn't happen very often.
No.
The only one I can think of other than Devin Wilson would be, I guess, Greg Paulus going from Duke basketball to Syracuse football, playing quarterback.
That's right. That's
but
right.
He, you know, I mean, going into his Syracuse program, that was not very easy at all. But
right.
the transition from him was not as smooth. But I have to think for Wilson, it will be for a little bit. But, man, we're almost at 20 minutes here, man. We're out of time. But it's always a pleasure. Had a great time doing the tailgate show, man. And we'll definitely do that again, and we'll definitely have you back in here soon.
Sounds good.
Without a doubt. That's Chris Coleman of Tech Sideline. One more time, give him a follow on Twitter at Chris Coleman TSL. Now we'll step aside, take a break, and when we come back, we're talking to Scott Thomas, the head coach of the Virginia Tech softball program. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7. Welcome back. You're listening to The Clubhouse right here on Super Sports 101.7. Thanks so much for being with us today. Danny Noakes, Christian Four, and Andy Noakes with you on another Thursday here in the New River Valley. I want to thank Chris Coleman for stopping by to hang out with us during the last segment. Don't forget, no show tomorrow. You've got Virginia Tech Baseball taking over the airwaves at 2 2:15 with pregame coverage, 2:30 first pitch. Andrew Allegretta has the call. Hokies are at Boston College this weekend. We now go to Virginia Tech softball, and joining us now via the Phillips Real Estate Hotline is the Hokies head softball coach, Scott Thomas. He's a regular on our Thursday afternoon programs, and we're delighted to have him on again today. Give him a follow on Twitter at VTSBCoach. Coach, what's going on, man? How is everything?
Hey, we're hanging right in there, actually. Getting out today, enjoying the beautiful weather, and watching the Hokie lacrosse team taking on UNC.
I like it. Hokies supporting Hokies. That's what it's all about, man. Well, let's briefly go back to last weekend in that series at number 8 Florida State. And you and I were trading texts Saturday night after a couple of tough two-run losses in that doubleheader. Some stuff you liked, some stuff you didn't. Well, overall, what did you see?
You know, we played pretty well. I thought Florida State had a nice balanced attack, and they played really well. Given a couple different plays or calls that maybe didn't go our way, the first game could have been 1-0, the second game should have been 2-1, but that being said, we still probably didn't have enough to win either one of those games. And then Sunday, just kind of got out of hand really quickly, and it's just one of those days. Maggie didn't have her best stuff, but we've been leaning on her a lot, and we'll excuse her on that when we didn't come up with the runs on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned two-run losses there on Saturday. The pitching was there. It seemed like Maggie was throwing well, just not enough offense there.
Yeah, we had our opportunities. We just couldn't get the big hit. So, that's really big in those games to be able to get some big hits. They made a couple of nice plays, but overall, we just didn't get the big hit in those games. And I thought we had a good game plan, and just not enough on the offense, especially when it came to getting runners in scoring position and driving in some runs.
Well, let's look back at last night. Your team got back on track with a win on the road at Elon. What'd you make of that one?
Well, we made it a little tougher than necessary to a degree. We had two bases loaded situations, one time in the second and one time in the first. And then another time we'd scored two runs, but it was bases loaded, no outs, in the fifth or sixth. And we kind of let them off the hook there. But, we did what we needed to do to win. Maybe not the best outing for Mags, but I tell you, Elon, I was pretty impressed with several of their kids on top of their order. They did a really good job there. From a pitcher's side, we drew a lot of walks. We had a lot of runners on, and then we were able to score. We had 9 hits and I think it 4 or 5 walks, and we left some runners on. But otherwise, we played defensively. We played it really well. Caitlin Nolan did a heck of a job. Turned a couple of double plays. Did some really good things there. And overall, I was pleased.
Yeah, Elon always seems to play you guys tough, too. Now, Brianna Davenport had a good night, going 2-for-4 with an RBI. She's just a sophomore, but played well as a freshman last season out in center field. Really proved that she could hit at the top of the lineup. What have you liked from her this season?
Well, Bree's a tough competitor at the plate. She really is. She's one of those kids that just doesn't get rattled. And I like her demeanor. She does a great job there. I think the biggest thing with Bree is, she was hurt through part of the first year. We tried to get her back out on the field and tried to press it a little bit earlier this year. So her numbers aren't necessarily telling exactly how well she's done. Even this year, but she's just a tough competitor and a great person to have in our leadoff.
Well, another player I want to ask you about is Katie Smith. She's a senior, and she's been a major contributor to the team since their sophomore season there in 2014. And she spent most of those games behind the plate and made a lot of great plays, both in the field and at the plate, of course. But this season, Lauren Duff comes in. She slides into that starting catcher spot. So Katie's played some first base and some designated player. What do you think of the job Katie's done making those adjustments with the position changes?
She came in as really more of a shortstop middle infielder. And just has done and she really didn't fit that mold for us. However, at least at this level. But she's been great at adapting. We had moved her to first base as a freshman. And then her sophomore year, we said, hey, try this set of gear on. Let's see how that works behind the plate. She really was a natural behind the plate and did a great job learning the position and doing a great job there. So she's been amazing. And I tell you, her batting average, I think she's only hit like about 230 or something. But I'm telling you, her contact is it just doesn't tell the story. She's really been hit. She hit again last night. She had a line drive right at the shortstop. But she's had so many out-of balls. It's incredible. And then even in the Notre Dame series, you know, some crazy catches. It seems like if it's the big catch that's going to be made, it's going to be made when Katie's hitting the ball and hitting it well. So, unfortunately for her, she struggled with that part, but nothing that not to her own fault. She's done a heck of a job.
Virginia Tech head softball coach Scott Thomas is our guest. Follow him on Twitter at VTSB Coach. Where would you say that you've seen the most improvement in your team overall this season?
Well, you know, I think it's been kind of an interesting deal. I don't know that there's been one thing. We've had to step it up in different ways because of injuries and different things, you know, and plus, you know, we had the tough schedule, especially early. So I don't know that there's one thing, but I do think you see an overall confidence with the younger players, and that we've had to we've needed them to step up, and they've done a great job there. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, as you get through the learning process with a young team, is minimizing mistakes that you may have made early because you're young, inexperienced, and not making those mistakes, you know, as the season rolls on. And well, we've done a pretty good job of that.
You mentioned you guys have leaned on Maggie Tyler quite a bit this season, and we've certainly talked a lot about her here on this show, and certainly deserving of it. Where would you say she ranks among the ACC's best pitchers?
You know, she's right there. I mean, to be honest with you, there's a bunch of ACC pitchers that are doing pretty well. I think certainly the Burroughs kid at Florida State, Savannah King. But I tell you, everybody has at least one really good one, and Maggie holds her own with any of them. And it's a pitcher's game sometimes, and in this league right now with the way that you get some people that can hit the ball, you got to have somebody that can really be a good game manager. And I don't know that there's really necessarily anybody better in our league at managing the game, keeping the ball in the park, limited walks, and getting some strikeouts. And that's what Maggie's been doing for us.
Yeah, she's another player that's been a contributor pretty much since she walked on campus. Coach, just a couple more things here. We'll let you go. Now, you guys are 10-11 in the ACC heading into this weekend, your last eight-weekend ACC series of the regular season, and it's against bitter rival UVA. What's the scouting report on the Cavaliers this season?
Well, they're a rebuilding program, so these are the types of teams that kind of been trying to turn around over the last couple of weeks, or excuse me, last couple of years. And so this team can be a little bit dangerous, you know, and we've got to really step up to the challenge here because they're going to be fighting to get into the ACC tournament. They still need a couple of wins, and for us, we're fighting for a respectable finish to make the NCAA tournament. So a lot riding on this series, and they're going to be a team that comes in whether they have some weaknesses or not, they're going to be coming in ready to take us off.
Yeah, you get Virginia in the on Friday night, and then Saturday the doubleheader, and then next Tuesday you wrap up the season at your alma mater, East Tennessee State. Just what do you want to see here in these last four games as you guys get ready to go into the ACC tournament, and then eventually I know get into the NCAA tournament?
Well, I mean the find a way to win. That's it. I mean, it's just find a way to win. We're not looking for. You know, we've got to be consistent. We've got to do a better job of taking the outside pitch the other way and being smart there. But just, I tell you, as much as anything, get enough pitching to win, play the defense, whatever it takes. And we just got to win four, hopefully four in a row, and I think we'll be in good shape.
Hey, man, well, best of luck to you this weekend. The last thing here before we let you go, I know you guys got that doubleheader on Saturday, but Hogs for Hokies, man, it's on Saturday. It's on Saturday afternoon. I think it's going to be wrapping up around 5. They'll be over at the Power Zone in Christiansburg. Will we see you out there?
I'm going to try my best to get out there. That's my goal as soon as the game is to get on the bike and head over that way. I hope the weather holds out for us. I know Frank and them are we've got a lot of good things going on with the rifle out. Raffle items and auction and so forth. So it's a great event. A bunch of good guys, a bunch of good motorcycle enthusiasts, bikers, however you want to call them. And so I know these guys will have a good trip. I hope everybody has safe travels on it.
Yeah, and hopefully, like you said, hopefully we get some good weather. I know there's some rain in the forecast pretty much all day on Saturday. But, Coach, again, best of luck to you on Saturday. We'll see you soon, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay. Thanks, Danny.
Without a doubt, that is Virginia Tech head softball coach Scott Thomas. One more time, give him a follow on Twitter at VTSBCoach. We'll step aside for now, come back, and wrap up the show. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.